This Sunday, the topic for my sermon is something that it could be considered controversial by some people, but I think it's an important theological definition, if I want to be highbrow on this Sunday like that. I read the scripture of a man named Nicodemus, and he had some questions, and like we all do, Christ answered them the best way possible. You know, in 1976, some of you were here, some of them were still in the crib, and some of you were not here at all. A presidential election year was full of surprises, and it brought a phrase into political jargon. Jimmy Carter was interviewed by the nefarious checkered periodical Playboy. Asked about his faith, and Carter described himself as being a born-again Christian. You may remember that. Well, a term that has, he didn't mean it, but this term has been much abused in the almost 50 years since. In fact, you know, politicians get old, them, they're going to make a heyday out of anything like that. But I remember I was in college, and it was a couple of years after Jimmy Carter's interview, and a question was asked of me at the University Public Forum Arena, where I attended school, where people or groups would hold rallies of various formats from political to religious. Well, a contingent of evangelists were holding a rally, and curiosity got the better part of me only as a casual spectator. Well, suddenly a person, he lived in the same dormitory as I did, and he was acquaintance. I don't know if I would call him a friend, but he was a likable person. And he asked me a question. Are you born again? Well, at first I was taken aback and then a little angry, but I told him politely, well, what do you mean by born again? I knew what it meant, but I just wanted to see what his definition of it was. And I did it in a tongue-in-cheek fashion. Well, this fellow immediately started telling me what was required of me to be reconciled to God. Now, he didn't use the word reconciled. I did that. But better than prolonged conversation, I told him that I knew God through Jesus Christ, and that settled it with me. In retrospect, my ego was battered, and it was an insulting charge, at least in my thinking at the time. How dare he judge and question me about my faith? What? Couldn't he read me like a bottle of Del Monte ketchup? I mean, really, of course not, he couldn't. And I went away licking my figurative wounds and bruises. But, you know, I'm going to tell you something, and this is very honest. God used that student to awaken my religious life and create more depth in my faith. His method may have been contrary to my approach, but it jarred me out of my lethargic religious state. We may snicker at the shrink-wrapped shallow faith of people who speak of salvation as if it were all an offering at bargain basement prices, but if we're honest, it must be admitted that there is a tendency to take away the greatness of God to fit into the narrow regions of our small modern minds. And I'm going to be honest, I think God sent that fella to talk to me. You know, a lot of times when we're challenged in our faith, and everyone in this sanctuary has been challenged at one time or another with their faith. But this taught me something, that this challenge was not as much of a challenge as it was, am I truly living up to the faith in which I believe? You think about that. Now, we have our Bibles, but do we really apply the Bible into our lives daily and apply it toward others? Nicodemus came to Christ by night. Well, night in John's gospel is more than after the sun sets. It's ignorance, a time of confusion, of not knowing. It's strange to find a person like Nicodemus in the shadows of religious darkness. Why? It was odd because Nicodemus should have known better. He was a leader in the synagogue, a knowledgeable person, educated, but something was still gnawing at him on the inside. He said, "Rabbi, we know." Those were his first words to Christ, spoken with a self-confident tone of complete certainty and smugness in attitude. Nicodemus wanted to get a few things correctly defined. Now here Christ catapulted Nicodemus out into dangerously wild, unexplored territory, governed not by what is known, even by the conventional wisdom, but by the Holy Spirit. It left the once confident Nicodemus muttering, "How can this be?" Well, we basically want God in a box, but you know, God won't fit into our best constructed thinking containers. Furthermore, Christ said later to Nicodemus that we can't get this new mentality except from above. Well, as modern so-called sophisticated people, today's culture and society is somewhat delusional in that it possesses mass knowledge. We know the mass and vast knowledge given. We can just go to our cell phones and hit it with a thumb and things will come up that if we have a question, you know, well, guess what? It's going to do its best to give us a definition of something. However, such finite minds like ours do require assistance. And sometimes it requires more than Google. It requires the Lord's help. To know one is born again is not a matter of intellect or even outward rituals, but a grace-guided life that only God can give. Christ spoke to Nicodemus, as I said, who earlier was well-educated, self-assured, and with a confident intellect, like most of us here. But as with Nicodemus, we all need God's grace. Nicodemus needed to ask for God's forgiveness. I was thinking about a friend of mine. Every time we talk on the phone, he's got everything in the Bible cornered. He knows a little bit more than anybody else. He even knows a little bit more than I do. He likes to challenge you, say something like, if you tell him the sun's going to rise in the east tomorrow morning, he'll contradict and say, no, it's going to come up in the west. Have you all ever known people like that? They just have to get the last word in. And sometimes faith matters. It goes quite a way. And I just don't think the fella, one day his faith train may jump the tracks. Because like I said, he's similar to Nicodemus in a lot of ways. Self-confident and a little on the arrogant side. But Nicodemus had a reality check confronted his rigid thinking in that he didn't know everything there was to understand God. Much like that young fella confronted me that day in school. And so, you know, that night Nicodemus was freed, or should I say liberated, from his own spiritual imprisonment and was led not of his own volition, but by God's grace. We never hear again of Mr. Nicodemus until after Christ was crucified, dead and buried, as the Apostles' Creed recites. He was among the few followers who dared to be near the deceased Messiah. Considering that Christ was crucified by the establishment, it's quite amazing to witness Nicodemus, a member of the elite Pharisees, risking his religious, political, and social status. Nicodemus was there at the end, not as an interrogator, but as a disciple and as a committed believer to this Messiah, a Pharisee who finally saw the light. At the cross, there was none of that we know it all mentality. In fact, Nicodemus didn't say anything. He brought spices to honor and worship the Son of God, slain for the sins of the world. Even now, God isn't thwarted by doubts, questions, or answers, nor intimidated by smirky, smug pot shots or categories of our own invention. So never be afraid when you're in prayer to talk to the Lord about things which are bugging you. God will not be morally indignant if you ask him something. God relishes when we go to him, because God does have the answer for everything. But what shall we say then of ourselves? Are we born again? Perhaps it could be phrased that we are engrafted into salvation for which we hope and long at God's command. Such methodology perhaps includes nurturing and loving and gracing not just ourselves, but those other people out there that we encounter daily. As I said earlier, sometimes we may read our Bibles, and that's good to have Bible knowledge, but we rarely ever apply that Bible knowledge when we encounter people who may need it. So think about that when you're reading your Bible the next time, and think about maybe those people that you haven't encountered yet and that they might need that encouragement that you found in the Scripture. But you know, this special love never condemns nor judges. It doesn't impose rigid rules upon ourselves or others. One of my favorite Bible verses, and I've quoted it numerous times, is found in 1 John 5:3, which encapsulates such freedom in the Lord. It says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." What does that mean? We don't have to jump through hoops of fire to please God. God's grace has taken care of it. So we must remember that. Now, there's people do like to add little rules and regulations. You know, in the Old Testament, the books of Moses, the law of Moses, as it's called, if you read closely and even later on, they had commentators later on who added things to that. And in fact, some of it was not very nice toward other people. We are not to do that. We are to accept the Bible by faith and also live it by faith. And with God's assistance, we can accomplish so much. And, you know, this is a truly liberating verse, 1 John 5:3. It's an antidote to legalism. You know, just remember, if we do implement legalistic measures into our faith, then the title of Pharisee could be written on our name tags. Stay away from legalism. I've seen it for years. You know, I guess if I look back over a lot of sermons I preached over the past umpteen years, legalism has always been at the top of the list. Why? It is so catching. It is so hypnotic because it's easier to fall back on something that already has a strict regimen, and humans like that. But we better stay clear of that if we want the true power of God in the Holy Spirit to be with us morning, noon, and night. And you know, this salvation extends beyond ourselves, immediate selves, to others, and ultimately to the entirety of God's creation. It does not seek to benefit us at the expense of others. It is directed especially to those whom the world excludes. Pat's song, Elvis's song, "Where Could I Go But to the Lord," isn't that the truth? You've been in situations like I have that you don't have anyone else to turn to but the Lord. But then some people have an idea, and I've had it too. Well, I don't want to bother him. It's not a big deal. Yes, it is a big deal, and God wants us to nag him with it. Now, does that mean that God may or may not answer it? Well, yeah, but you know, God answers all prayers. It's just according to God's methodology. It's according to how God will answer you. And most of the time, and I would say 99.9%, like Ivory Soap is pure, the answer will come up better than we anticipated. Yet, you know, we do continue to long for a life filled with the best of joy and happiness and contentment found in God's salvation. We believe this human love occurs only because of God's grace given to those who are truly people of faith. We must realize and believe that nothing can separate us from God's love. That is a proven fact, a certain fact. It's found in Scripture. We can always live in the confidence that we are totally loved in God. Not an arrogant confidence, but a complete humble confidence that we are totally loved by God. And even to those who are most difficult to love. You have anybody in your life, whether it's a family member, acquaintance, friend, a colleague, who's kind of difficult to love? It takes every ounce of your Christianity to pull yourself together to love them. Well, you don't have to do that. You can ask God to give you the grace to be able to do that. It's only a prayer way to ask God for this. So, you know, all this could be the ultimate proof to our faith and being born again by knowing that our reliance is upon God totally and not upon our own wits or our own education or whatever it is, because God will come through for us and we must believe it. If not, well, we can fold our arms and close the Bible and never read it again. But God will answer you, and God will stand with you through thick and thin. Scripture verse, if God be for us, what? Who can be against us? God will do all that. And the verse to me, which encapsulates the entire Bible and our own faith, you know what it is? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, thank you for the scriptures that you give us to ensure us that we can have confidence in you and confidence only in you. Help us, O Lord, when we're frustrated with life, when things throw us curveballs and boomerangs and we don't expect it. But we know that you will stand with us and help us. It says, ask you anything and you will listen and act. We ask you, O God, at this moment, those who are struggling with in many issues, that you will give them assurance and confidence that they may have a life of contentment and grace in their hearts. We ask all this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.